It is Jared and the GM. We are live today at Neighbors Bar out here in Germantown, right by First Tennessee Park. We're hanging out here with our friends at Tullamore Dew and Brews. Only $6 today out here for a Tullamore Dew and Brews out here at Neighbors, again, in Germantown. Come on out and see us. We're here until 6. And, of course, tonight we got the big watch party that will be here for the Monday night football game, Washington and Chicago. GM, this Neighbors Bar is the most Titans bar I think I have ever
there's
seen.
A good reason, because it's owned by a Titan.
It's owned by a former Titan who should be a current Titan, in my opinion, right now.
I just told him today he could walk in and start at right guard right now.
That's former Titan great Zach Piller.
Zach Piller owns this. He actually owns a couple of bars here in town, bar restaurant type places. And this is like his newest addition. So glad to be here. First time. I mean, a lot of Titan stuff. I mean, spacious, a lot of TVs. You could, you know. You're typical if you're thinking now a football guy were to build a bar or a man cave, or it would look just like this, you know. So it's a great place. Fit right in here. Feel at home.
It's almost like Zach built a bar for you to come watch football at his bar.
Oh, yeah.
The way that he would probably watch football at his bar.
Yeah.
And it is, it's all, I mean, we got TVs everywhere. We got Titan stuff everywhere. Again, this is, to me, the most Titan, most authentic Titans bar maybe I've ever seen, which is saying something, because we've got a lot of big supporters of the Titans, you know, in Nashville. By the way, there's a picture. There's a bunch of Steve McNair and Eddie George stuff in here, a lot of Steve McNair stuff. There's a giant painting of Steve McNair over here where he's doing the Omega salute after he would score touchdowns. And I was telling Floyd that when we were like 9 years old and we would play football at recess, we'd score touchdowns and we'd do the Omega salute like Steve McNair would. No disrespect to the Omegas. We did not know what that was. And so, but it's just funny because you see that. And I remember all those touchdowns Steve McNair used to score and how we'd, you know, go to recess the next day at little old USN and do our Steve McNair after the touchdown celebrations. Okay, speaking of Titans fans who would love this bar, this was a horrible, horrible, horrible weekend for the Tennessee Titans. And a horrible weekend if you were a Titans fan. The team gets crushed on Thursday night football. Every worry you have about the team reared its ugly head Thursday night. Jacksonville actually may have found a quarterback, and it's not the guy they gave $80 million to, but it's Minshew, who everybody's in love with now. Flash forward to yesterday, I watched the Colts game against the Falcons, which all you needed was Atlanta to come back and win that game, and that would have been perfect. Indy would have been dealt a loss. Atlanta probably would have come in high and mighty after beating what might be a crappy Philadelphia team. I don't know. But after beating Philadelphia and then beating Indy, Atlanta would have been pumped up for their game this week, and they would have been flying high and mighty, which would have been a good chance for you to take them down. And Atlanta loses in large part because Matt Ryan threw an interception he had no business throwing. And Atlanta loses, Indianapolis wins. But not only did Indianapolis win, Brissett looked really good and comfortable early in that football game. And that's concerning. And then you flip on the game after that, the Texans and the Chargers have a nice little lead, and you're thinking, okay, it's going to be hard for the Texans to come back and win that game at the Chargers. And Deshaun Watson goes crazy in the second half of that game and just plays great football. And you look at those wide receivers, and you see Hopkins and Stills and Fuller, and Watson's getting a little protection right now, and the Texans are 2-1, and the Colts are 2-1, and the Jags just spanked your rear end. It was a horrible weekend if you were a Tennessee Titan fan this weekend, Floyd.
Yeah, well, I mean, anytime you lose and the other people in division win, then it's not a good weekend. But there'll be a lot more to come. I did see Indy and I did see Houston. And I mean, they both had impressive wins.
What bothered me more than how they won was that they looked good.
Good teams. And the difference was, I mean, their quarterbacks played. That's the difference. And they made, you know, they were able to inspire the rest of those guys to maybe play a little bit better than they were. And that's one of the most important jobs for a quarterback. So I was impressed, you know, sadly impressed simply because, you know, it's going to make it harder on us. But, you know, the San Diego team is for real. They're a good team. We know that. And Atlanta, we're going to find out how good they are here in just a few days. So, you know, both games that Indy and Houston could have lost. But instead, when it came down to right at the end of both games, and somebody's got to make a play for us, and in both situations, a quarterback made a play.
And see, that's what bothers me about those two wins. It's not so much the fact that Indy won, and it's not so much that Houston won. And honestly, on the Jacksonville front, I mean, you don't want to write Jacksonville off by any means, but Jacksonville absolutely had to have that game Thursday night. I mean, they played like they knew their season was over if they lost that game to go to 0-3. I'm not convinced the Jags are a contender. But like I've always said, in this division, even if a team is not a contender, they can keep you from being a contender, or they can knock you out of winning the division very, very easily. And we've seen that a lot over the time in the AFC South. But what just got me about this game, to your point, was the quarterbacks made plays. The Colts, it looks like Atlanta's coming back in that football game, and Matt Ryan with a terrible interception down around the goal line, but a really good play by Malik Hooker. And I'm thinking to myself, see, those are the plays the Titans aren't making right now. And some of those plays Watson made last night against the Chargers, those are the plays that I'm not even hoping Marcus makes right now. I'm just hoping Marcus makes the simple play. But the touchdown Watson had, the one to Akins or whatever, oh my goodness, gets out of pressure, wiggles around, moves over, waits till the guy comes across the field and is wide open for a touchdown. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, how are you going to compete with these teams right now when you can't block, when your quarterback can't hit an open receiver, when you can't be consistent in doing anything other than the fact that your defense is probably going to hold everybody around 20 points a game, if not a little bit lower than that. The defense, you got to feel okay about. But, I mean, I watched those two games, and I thought, I'm watching Brissett throw the ball. I'm watching Watson throw the ball. I'm watching how those teams were making plays when plays had to be made. And I'm thinking, how are the Titans going to compete with this? You think the Titans go to Los Angeles yesterday and win that game down 17-7 to the Chargers? I don't.
The hard part is we see, and Brissett's probably the best example of it. Because, you know, I mean, 2 weeks ago we were kind of laughing at him calling him backup. Well, now he looks like maybe as good a quarterback as there is in the division. But he, you know, he wasn't bad to begin with. We know that. And he is improving. You look at Watson is improving. Now, both of them have a core of receivers, and both of them have tight ends. You know, so they've got some help. But, you know, our cupboard isn't bare in that area either. And we've got some people that are capable of plays. But they were like the touchdown, the game-clinching touchdown for Houston. I mean, he ducks. He's getting ready to run. He pulls it down. He breaks by. Looks like he's going to sprint. Instead, he just drops it right off. The guy takes it, runs it in for a touchdown. Game over. I mean, those kind of plays we have not been able to find. We're lacking those right now, and you know, until we get to a point that you can compete. I mean, truth is, in this league, especially at the quarterback position, you've got the Tom Brady's, the Drew Brees's, the guys of that ilk that can just stand in the pocket and make plays. Mm-hmm. You know, they can just drop back, plant, ball's coming out, okay, move the chains, let's get going. Then you've got this whole group of younger guys. That's like I watch Mahomes play.
Oh, my God. I watched that yesterday.
Never does he just drop back and stand in the pocket.
Nope.
He never throws from the pocket. He's always moving to his right or to his left, or he's sprinting, or he's breaking contain, or he's buying time. And it allows all of these gazelle receivers they have that are, you know, 4-2 kind of guys to just take off and run down the field. He throws it as far as he can. They run underneath it. They're ahead 7-0. And you keep thinking, well, what, you know, how can you not contain that guy, which is more important than anything else you could do against him? But, I mean, you look at him and you look at the guy at Houston, the guy at Indy, and all of these young quarterbacks, even the guy at the Giants, his first start, goes out there, wins the game on a run. Mm-hmm. He takes off. He's not standing in the pocket throwing like Eli. You know, he's pulling it down and he's running a little bit. Some of those things that we should be able to do with Marcus that we're just not getting anything out of. And I'm not requesting him to take off and run all the time. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that when we do decide to run, it'd be nice to get something out of it, mm-hmm. kind of the way these other guys are. It'd be ideal.
I tried to be as honest with myself as possible watching all the different games yesterday. So, like, I watch Mahomes play, and I don't even think about Mariota. That is disrespectful to Mahomes to even watch him play and think about Marcus as you're watching it. Mahomes can dump it off to the running back and make that look as effortless as he can slinging it 58 yards down the field. But I watch even Lamar Jackson, a guy who I think is still kind of coming along as a quarterback. I think Lamar is a lot better than I thought he would be, but I'm watching him play, and he looks a little composed and knows when to run and sometimes, you know, makes – like, to me, if Marcus could play with the instincts Lamar Jackson has right now, I think I'd take it. I think I'd take Lamar Jackson over Marcus right now, just watching Marcus play.
Lamar's instincts are to run. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a runner first. And we'll pull up and we'll pass. But he – I mean, I was excited to see him too because all this rave, I thought, could I have missed that far on that kid? And no, I didn't miss.
He didn't have a terrible game.
Oh, he's awful.
He did not. He overthrew
a couple. We think Marcus overthrows and misses receivers. He was missing receivers by 10 yards. I mean, it was unbelievable. But he can run like the wind now.
And
when he runs, it is effortless. He just glides. And the next thing you know, he's picked up 20 yards.
Oh, yeah. When he played at Louisville, I felt like he was ice skating out there against everybody else.
Yeah, he's special. But, we're seeing that with all of these young guys. It's not that they're in the pocket. And I'm sure they'll get to a point where they'll work themselves into the pocket, where they can spend more time there. But now they're so athletic and they're doing so much that they're making up for the lack of pocket awareness or pocket sense with the ability to move around a little bit. And I'm not, you know, maybe with the offensive line situation we're in, we've got to do that every snap with Marcus.
Well, Gardner Minshew does that very, very well. Other. Gardner does that well for Jacksonville.
Another example, you know, I mean, he's out there running around, flinging the ball. And with Marcus, that may be what we need to be doing is moving that pocket and rolling him and sprinting him and doing all the things you got to do to maybe get him out in the open where he's got a chance now. It limits your reads. It limits where you can put the ball. But, you know, if the patterns are coordinated, I mean, you can make it work.
Let's take your phones. Your reaction yesterday. Houston wins. Indy wins. Quarterbacks look great. I mean, I tried to watch Floyd, as I said, tried to watch as honestly as possible. I'm not sure I saw an offensive line as bad as the Titans yesterday. You know, that is, and I, you know, maybe you're more critical of your line because you watch it closer than you do the other teams, but, I mean, I don't think I saw a line as bad as the Titans this week. So that, I think, also plays a role in this. But let's take your phone, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, your reaction as well to those games and to the NFL week, 615-737-1025. Jared and the GM, we are live out here from Neighbors Bar in Germantown over by First Tennessee Park. Come on out and see us today. We're here 2 to 6. And then the watch party tonight for the Monday night football game as Washington takes on Chicago. Thanks to our friends at Tullamore Dew as they are having the Monday night football watch party. We're here until 6. Tullamore Dew and brews are only $6. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, what do the other AFC South teams have that the Titans don't? We'll get into that. Jared and the GM, it's a Monday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Second and 10. Here comes Ingram. And again, Watson escapes. Over the middle, it's caught. Akins, wide open real estate. And the tight end rumbles in for the touchdown. Incredible play by Watson.
That was a beautiful play by Deshaun Watson. and I watched that game, and I saw that play. And apparently, the guy that caught it, Akins, my buddy that was my buddy was in town over the weekend and used to play baseball in the minor leagues and major leagues or whatever. He said he played in the minor leagues with Akins, and Akins just turned one day, told the team, "I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to go play football." I'm like, "What?"
And he did.
No, I'm good. I'm going to go play football. And Akins now is catching touchdown passes from Deshaun Watson. And Watson, boy, he looks great. I mean, Watson, he looked good in the Monday night game that we saw against the Saints. He looked awesome yesterday against the Chargers. I'm not here to declare Deshaun Watson the greatest or anything like that, but boy, he can play. And Brissett early in that football game, and Brissett had a great game yesterday against the Falcons. He was making throws like he was Andrew Luck out there, not afraid to take a five-step drop and just chuck it for a wide-open receiver. And I'm sitting there thinking about Marcus and how every time Marcus makes a throw, it's like we have to pat him on the back. And I'm just not sure how I feel about all that.
Yeah. I don't. I didn't think Watson played well in the first half. Now, in the second half, particularly from about the middle to latter part of the third quarter into the fourth, I mean, he did. Whatever he had to do to win the game, he did. I thought Brissett played pretty good throughout the game. Mm-hmm. He wasn't earth-shattering, but was just solid. You know, just
he
kept
hit his
it
first
going.
16.
Yeah, just kept it going, kept it trucking, was always had them in a position where you thought, okay, they're going to score, or they're going to do something good. And, I mean, the truth is, even the rookie when we were in Jacksonville, I mean, he jumped right out to those, the 14 points, and then all they had to do was hang on. And it worked out well for them. So, a lot of work to do.
Well, what do those teams have that the Titans don't have right now? And is it simply the quarterback?
Well, it's not simply the quarterback, but the quarterback is the guy, I think, in every case, that is making the plays that we seem to be missing. Now, they don't. None of those teams have the offensive line that we have. And so, that's as much an issue as anything else because the offensive line is a struggle. I mean, we all know that. And they've got to find a way to get that corrected some way, somehow this week. Because, I mean, when you play a team like Atlanta and they, I think Atlanta, they lost their starting safety yesterday, the other starting safety who got an Achilles, I think he tore. So they're going to be saying, all right, now we've got all these young guys playing the secondary up front. You guys are going to have to put pressure on them and, this and that and the other. And I'm sure that's what they're going to be trying to do. So we're going to have to go in prepare from now on until we can go into a game and just go sackless, really convince people that, hey, their pass protection's back. You're going to have to be fighting for your life because everybody that they play is going to be saying, okay, here we go. Got a chance to get some sacks this week now. Crank it up.
Let's go to your phone. 615-737-1025. Jared and the GM live out at Neighbors in Germantown. Again, we're here with our friends at Tullamore Dew. Let's go to your phone. Steven is going to kick us off today on Jared and the GM. Go ahead, Steven.
Yeah, to answer your question, they have a quarterback that's not afraid of a shadow. They have a line, they have an offensive line that doesn't have Kelly in it. He acts like he's blind because he can't block nobody. They have a punt returner that can actually catch. We can keep on going if you would like, but that's the problem with the Titans. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's actually pathetic to watch them. And I'm a huge Titan fan, but I'm actually, this is like the new Browns.
Oof, that's a take. Thank you for the call, Steven. Floyd, I'm not sure I can go that far. I mean, look, the Titans have their problems, and that's probably the most frustrating thing about right now is you watch Indy play against Atlanta, and at least this is me. I mean, I watch him play. I'm like, Indy's pretty good. And then you follow that up with watching the Texans, and you're like, the Texans are pretty good. But if you beat Indy, Indy's 1-2, and you're 2-1, and you had every chance in the world to beat Indianapolis. So maybe you're not that bad, but then you think back to Thursday, and you think maybe you are that bad, and then you listen to what he says. You know, hey, they catch the ball on punt returns, and their quarterback's not afraid, and they're not. And I'm not denying any of that. And that's the tough part for me.
Well, yeah, I mean, it snowballs. And that's why you always, it's never a matter of everything. But if it's your offensive line, What can you do on offense that the offensive line isn't a huge part of? Mm-hmm. And the answer is nothing. And so everything you do, the offensive line makes look worse. I mean, it makes the, you know, pass protection worse. It makes the quarterback worse. I mean, a quarterback gets sacked, what, 9 times? I mean, it's hard to look down the field and looking for receivers when you know somebody's coming to break your neck. So, I mean, and it affects everything. It affects the timing of the passes. It affects what you call as an offensive coordinator. It affects every single thing that goes on. And that's the hard part, because you look at it and you go, yeah, that's, you know, that part of the game is not good. Well, that part of the game isn't good because it can't be good until we get the offensive line solved.
I just think of how seriously you've always taken the offensive line, and how the fans kind of, like, now the fans are taking the offensive line seriously because it's bad. But if the offensive line was good, like when I was a kid and I was rooting for the Titans, I just kind of took Bruce Matthews for granted. I kind of took Brad Hopkins and John Runyon and Fred Miller and Zach Piller, and I just took all those guys for granted. Benji Olsen, just constantly took that guy for granted. And now you look back on it, and you're like, oh, my goodness, the offensive line is literally important on every single snap.
You can't function. You know, you can't get going. And the hard part, of course, is, you know, if you're not necessarily playing great defense, but your offense is overpowering, you got a chance. If your offense can do anything, if your offense can run the ball, but maybe not good passing the ball, but your defense is the 85 Bears, you know, you probably got a chance. Mm-hmm. But if your defense is just good and the offense is struggling, I mean, it's hard to get anything going. And that's, you know, that's kind of where we are right now.
AG is up next here on Jared and the GM. Thank you for calling. What's up, AG?
Nah, I'm not going for all this offensive line stuff. Mariota in the contract season, he need to show up and show out. Deshaun Watson didn't have no great offensive line last year, and they still was competing and competitive. And everybody tried to say, oh, he got Hopkins. The Titans got receivers. We got arguably the best tight end in the league. We got receivers. We got Humphreys. We drafted a receiver. So I ain't trying to hear all the offensive line stuff. And I never in a Mariota whole career, like Minshew, if I don't know if I got his name right, for the Jaguars, I never been blown away and be like, man, Mariota, he can. I just, that game with Minshew, when he was just putting that ball where it's supposed to be at, I never seen Mariota do that with a good offensive line. Seriously, Mariota is the topic. I ain't trying to hear all the offensive line stuff. I'm sorry.
Thank you for the call, AG. Floyd, what do you think about that? I mean, I think there are a lot of fans that think that it is a Mariota problem and not an offensive line problem. I don't think that they're mutually exclusive, but I do think that they're both an issue. I think the line is a more pressing issue or more of a red flag than the Mariota one, but the Mariota one is just the biggest question surrounding the team.
Well, yeah. And I mean, it's like he's trying to compare Watson. And truth, I mean, he spoke the truth when he said they don't have an offensive line, but they've got a couple of the best receivers in the NFL now. We ain't got anything like that. And so, you know, the great thing about Hopkins is you can throw him a ball anytime, any place, anywhere, and he's going to catch it, and he's going to do something with it. You know, that's the plus there. And so, you know, Deshaun always has somebody he can get to. We used to, I think Mark has developed that relationship with the tight end, but he gets hurt last year, so now he's gone, and now he's kind of, you know, getting his way back into it. You know, you'd like to think Humphreys can get to the point he can do the same thing, but, I mean, it's, you know, it's a work in progress right now. So, I mean, it's tough with the offensive line shaky now. It is really, really hard.
More of your phones. Back to them. 615-737-1025. Jared and the GM. We are live today at Neighbors in Germantown. Again, thanks to our friends at Tullamore Dew. Tullamore Dew and Brews, only $6 out here at Neighbors in Germantown, owned by Zach Piller, who, again, may be starting for the Titans on Sunday against Atlanta if we can convince him out of retirement and back onto the Titans offensive line. He has... That's all right. Taylor Lewan comes back after this week, so that may be good enough. 615-737-1025, live from Neighbors in Germantown. Let me tell you about Authentically American. I got my Authentically American polo on today. Floyd's got his, and Dave has his Authentically American polo on as well, our on-site engineer. We rock Authentically American, and you should, too, for your business. That's right. You need your business's logo to look great on all of your wear. You need your business's wear to be acceptable. It's high quality. That's what you get with Authentically American, because everything from Authentically American is made in the USA, including our polos, our jackets, and everything else. Authentically American is a brand about celebrating patriotism, believing in the American worker, and honoring the American hero as they donate 10% of their gross profits to veteran and first responder charities. Check out Authentically American online at AuthenticallyAmerican.us. Again, that's AuthenticallyAmerican.us. Authentically American, the next iconic brand that is truly American-made. Jared of the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What's got to be the mindset leaving here, Morgan? You got 10 days before the next game now to find yourself 1-2. But what has to happen moving forward?
It's a gut check. I mean, to be honest with you, you lose two division games within a span of 5 days. It's a wake-up call. And, you know, I think we have the guys in the building to bounce back. I believe in these guys. And we're going to find ways to get better and get ready to go next week.
Mariota, and that's kind of the message the Titans are preaching. Vrabel today was kind of asked about the state of the team or something like that. And Vrabel went on to talk about, you know, hey, look, they're 2-1 or 1-2. They haven't played well in two games, and they got to figure it out. Starts with Atlanta this week and all of that. And they're all right, and I know they're right, and I know to overreact to the first three games of the season. The Bills are 3-0 right now. Do we think Buffalo is going to win the Super Bowl? No. But it is hard to watch yesterday Indianapolis play the way they played, Houston play the way they played, and then think about how you played Thursday and say to yourself, oh, my goodness, this is – supposed to be the good to great season. It's supposed to be the 12-4 season, and this is
It's difficult because the single biggest difference in my mind in the games that I watched and what we did Thursday night is the quarterback and throwing the ball. I mean, all of these other Brissett and Watson can line up and find a place, even though I didn't think Watson played well in the first half. In the second half, when he had to get in there and had to win the game, he lined up, found guys that were open, got them the ball, moved the chains, let's go, and, you know, find a way to win, which they did. So, I mean, that was the biggest difference to me. I mean, I didn't, you know, we just weren't able to do a bunch of the things offensively that they were able to do. Now, the offensive line is a big reason for that. And I'm not, you know, I'm not excusing them. But, I mean, the combination of the offensive line and what we saw, you know, with the quarterback and the play, the quarterback and throwing the ball, the passing game. I mean, our passing game was just, I mean, it's elementary in comparison.
Let's go back to your phones. Evan is up next here on Marcus Mariota. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Evan.
Hey, guys. So you want to look at what Marcus doesn't have compared to the other quarterbacks in this league, especially in the division. The man does not have faith. He doesn't have faith in his offensive line, doesn't have faith in his receivers. And most importantly, he does not have faith in himself. Going on, you know, 5 years of this man, we don't have faith in him either. And I think he knows that. I think Marcus is the kind of guy that so badly wants to be the guy, wants to make the play, but for whatever reason just does not have that in them. And he needs to have a come-to-Jesus moment with his line, with his receivers, and with himself. He's not that guy, whether it's his Aloha spirit or whether it's his introverted personality. He's not going to be the guy to hold others accountable and get in their face and do that. And I think that's a problem. I mean, you think Gardner Minshew doesn't have faith in himself the way that man wears those jorts? I mean, Gardner Minshew is feeling himself, and you saw that on Thursday night. And we need a little more of that for Marcus, but I don't know if we're going to get it.
Lloyd, what do you think? Thank you, Evan.
He brings up a good point with Minshew and the
jorts.
That was good. And you know what? He didn't care one iota. Here I am in my jorts. What are you going to say? What are you going
to
do?
I mean, it's almost like Minshew's looking at it. And to be honest with you, Minshew kind of plays like that. Like, I think the call – I'm not saying that the jorts are a direct – Minshew kind of plays like – yeah, I'm a sixth-round pick, and, yeah, I thought I was going to go to Alabama and be a coach, and I didn't know I was going to go to Washington State, and here I am, and I'm starting, and whatever, I'm throwing the ball where I'm supposed to throw the ball, and I'm going to go out there and do my thing. And I do agree with the caller that I think Marcus, I do, and I've said this on the air, I believe Marcus has put so much pressure on himself this year, and I wonder and I am worried that that is affecting him in a negative way.
Well, I mean, it might be, but I, the truth is, I think just, you know, the way we're playing is affecting him as much as anything else. And I think the caller was right from this standpoint. I mean, I think Marcus is, his confidence is a little bit shaky right now. You know, you watch those other guys now. I mean, especially Bissett. I mean, he stands back there. He knows what he's going to do with the ball. He put, and then zing, there it goes. You know, I mean, it was, they just showed a picture a few minutes ago of Tom and Brissett and Jimmy G all together in New England as the first, second, third team quarterbacks. That's a pretty good group. But I think he goes into a game and he's got some of that confidence. I mean, there is no, you know, he's not concerned about anything. You know, you, what do you want done? Okay, you tell me, I'll go get it done for you. I mean, that's the impression I get with him. And Watson, of course, I think is along those same ways. I'm not sure that he talks about it, you know, and that he is one of those guys that's very boisterous on the sideline, but his play shows it. Mm-hmm. You know, when you watch him do things and you watch him pull the ball down and take off running, you watch the way he runs, you watch the way he throws the ball, and it you can tell he's confident. You know, you can tell he knows what he's going to do. I just don't sense that same thing from Marcus.
I go back to Dabo Swinney's comment about Michael Jordan. Remember when Watson was coming out and he said passing on Deshaun Watson would be like passing on Michael Jordan in basketball. And the one thing I'll give Dabo credit for, to your point about Watson, is it just feels like Watson feels like the kind of guy, a lot like Steve McNair, that was games on the line and I got to make a play, put it on my plate. He did it at Clemson. He's doing it now. Game's on the line. Put it on my plate. Charles is up next on the Titans. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Charles.
Thanks, guys, for the taking the call. Jared, I'm not going to get into you today. My comment is this. My comment is this. Mariota has been in the league, and his best year was 2016 when he didn't stay in the pocket. He ran all over the place. He threw for multiple touchdowns and had his best year, but yet he got hurt, and everybody said, no, you got to stay in the pocket. Now he's afraid to run because he's going to get hurt. So I don't know what you do about it. If you want him to run, then let him run and let him throw all over the place, or keep him in the pocket and you get sacked 9 times in a game. You can't keep any fan happy. He's happy 1 minute when he's throwing touchdowns, but you're losing. So what are you supposed to do, Jared?
Thank you for the call, Charles. I'll ask the GM that question.
Well, the hard part, I think, is that, and I'm not necessarily saying that we have to get Marcus out and about for his good, although I think that might be the case. But I think I'm looking at it from the offensive line standpoint, and I'm saying, you know what? We just cannot drop back. I mean, the word is out. And we really went a couple of weeks there on fumes because the offensive line was generally the same. But the blood wasn't in the water yet. You know, people just weren't quite sure. Well, unfortunately for us, last week the blood is now in the water. And so, I mean, it's going to be watch out because here we're going to come and get you. And so when I talk about moving him and rolling out in boots and whatnot, it's more to help the offensive line a little bit, to maybe get them in a position where, you know, you're not stuck man for man, head up on Calais Campbell, that you don't have a prayer to block. And the coach is saying, hey, you got to block that guy. Well, I can't, coach. Sorry. You know, I'm just can't do it. And so you say, well, let me slide this. Let me move these guys around. How about now? Yeah, I got a chance now.
Well, I do think coaching is a little bit of an issue with the Titans. I know we've been over that as far as the line's concerned, but the line's talent's simply not good enough. I mean, with me and Mariota, I mean, I'm still torn exactly on how to feel about Marcus with just how bad the line is right now. And it was interesting. You know, John Glennon wrote an article in The Athletic that we'll get into about how much of it's Marcus's fault, how much of it's the line's fault, where is it? We'll get to that coming up next, because I think that that's kind of telling as well. Jared and the GM, we are live from Neighbors in Germantown. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Do you think that a lack of open receivers is playing a part in the sacks or, you know, separation?
Well, I think it always plays a part. I think that you have to be able to protect. You have to be able to get open and deliver the football. You know, there's times where there's guys are open. There's times where guys aren't open. There's times where there's breakdown in protection, and there's times where, you know, we got to get rid of the football. So there's always a lot of factors that go into it. And, you know, I know that everybody would like to pin it all on one or two people, but that's not the case, and it's not going to be what happens here.
That was Mike Vrabel talking about the sack issue with the Titans offensive line. So I think a lot of people are wondering, is it the line's fault? Is it Mariota's fault? Is it the receiver's fault? Is it the coaching fault? And John Glennon went with the help of Pro Football Focus and tried to break this down on The Athletic.
Okay, enough said.
Well, he talks about the constant pressure. For example, Mariota has been under pressure 36.4% of the snaps, which is the ninth highest rate among quarterbacks with at least 50 dropbacks. When he hasn't been sacked, Mariota has posted good numbers under pressure, completing more than 65% of his passes and averaging more than 18 yards per completion and a quarterback rating of 120.6. So Mariota's been sacked the ninth most, or been under pressure, ninth most in the league. Then it goes on to the individual problems on the offensive line, saying that according to the tape, and again, I have no idea, but according to the tape, Dennis Kelly has been the best offensive lineman on the Titans, having only allowed one sack and five pressures while going up against the opponent's top rushers. Asked about Mariota, and it talks about how Mariota has been sacked on 39.5% of his pressure dropbacks amongst quarterbacks with at least 50 dropbacks. Mariota's figure ranks only second to Seattle's Russell Wilson at 40% in that department. Talks about Mariota hesitating and throwing the ball. Mariota has an average 2.8 seconds before throwing the ball this season, the third longest time in the league, behind only Ryan Fitzpatrick and Aaron Rodgers. So that can't be very good, that he's holding on to the ball longer than every quarterback in the league except for Rodgers and Fitzpatrick. Then talks about the pressure point or whatever. Three sacks Pro Football Focus attributes directly to Mariota are tied for a league high. Again, I don't know if that's true or not. That's just what John Glennon writes. Then talking about the receivers and saying that the receivers have a hard time getting separation. The Titans' top receiver is Adam Humphries in that department at 3.6 yards average separation, but that figure ranks 23rd in the NFL among players who have been targeted at least eight times. So that can't be good either. Then there are route running issues. Glennon writes, how successful have the Titans receivers been running their routes compared to their peers around the league? Not especially, Glennon writes, among PFP's numbers. Delanie Walker is among the league's best at tight end with a pass route grade of 77.5. Now, before we get into that, I don't know how Pro Football Focus knows what routes guys are running. I mean, other than just looking at it and saying, okay, that's a post. But, like, if you don't know what the options on the route are, I don't know how you would be able to judge whether or not someone's running a good route.
You wouldn't.
So forget that one. But we know the Titans receivers have had problems running, you know, running routes. We know they've had problems running routes in the past. So basically, the way that Glennon puts it is everybody's at fault, which is exactly what Vrabel just said there on Friday.
Right.
Floyd, do you agree with that, or do you think that there is one reason to blame more than others?
No, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt but that it's everybody's fault. I mean, I think it all accumulates, if you will. You know, why are you holding on to the ball? I'm holding on to the ball because I got pressure in front. Okay, well, you know, you're back there dancing around with the ball in your hand when you need to be throwing it downfield. But, Marcus, I mean, we know the offensive line is an issue. We know that Marcus is not one of those guys that drops back foot hits, ball comes out, everybody's happy. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just has never been that type. So, I mean, and we know that we've had trouble running routes. We know we have trouble with release, all those things.
I mean, is this receiving core good or not? I don't know. I mean, the one thing I'll tell you watching games like yesterday's, the Texans receiving core is a good receiving core.
Oh, Hopkins.
They are Stills. I mean, they are unbelievable.
Yeah, Hopkins is the ultimate pattern runner in the league. I mean, only because he can go out there and run any pattern against any coverage and make it work. It's not, he's not a blazer. He's not downfield 50 yards. But he's going to go underneath. They're going to throw him the ball. He's going to catch it. May run. If not, get down. Do it again.
Well, I also think that T.Y. Hilton plays a big role in that in Indianapolis, and you don't have a guy like that. You don't have a Hopkins. You don't have a Stills. Well, you don't have a T.Y. You don't have...
And all of those guys, all of those quarterbacks in all of those places, that's like Mahomes, Kansas City. Did you see that rookie receiver yesterday?
Hardman. 85-yard touchdown.
Killing him. Killing him. And and it was funny because I think he's one that Mahomes said during the last game. Mahomes told a guy, hey, run fast. He didn't talk about the pattern. He didn't talk about setting a guy up. He didn't talk about release. He didn't run fast, and I'll get you the ball. Well, that's their offense. Run fast, I'll get you the ball. Well, we don't have anybody like that. We don't have an offense like that, but we don't have anybody like that either. So, I mean, you know, you've got to – and each one of these guys, that's like if you – the only guy, I would say, of the receivers that you would say this is what he is Humphreys. And he hasn't been there.
Mm-hmm.
But we all know what he is. He's a little slot receiver. Okay, he's going to go out there. He's going to get open. He's going to, you know, keep the chains moving, get first downs for you, et cetera. But the rest of the guys, what's Corey Davis really, really good at? You know, what's Brown really, really good at? What are any of those receivers? What's Sharp really good at?
Nothing.
People would say Sharp is the best pattern runner of the group, I think, and maybe the most instinctive of the group. But other than that, I mean, you know, those guys aren't known for anything.
Let's go to your phones. Mike is up next here on Jared and the GM Live out at Neighbors in Germantown. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, it's all good. It's Gallatin, but no big deal. So, hey, on a milk carton is Corey Davis. Has to be. Like, where has he been all for the three games? I understand you got to be able to block and you got to be able to have a quarterback who can hit him. But at the same time, if you have a quarterback who is always throwing the ball or targeting your number five pick in the draft 2-3 times a game, it's partially on you for not getting open. We drafted Corey Davis to try to be the game changer, to try to be the Michael Thomas, the DeAndre Hopkins. And I understand he might not ever get to that point, but damn, we got to give it a try, because if we're only going to give him 2-3 looks and we've wasted the fifth-round pick, it's time to move on from him as well. We could get the same production, 1 or 2 looks from a 6th, 7th-round pick, and we could have used that pick on offensive line.
Thanks for the call, Mike Floyd.
Well, the way I look at it, and this kind of back to where we were a minute ago, is we need to make each one of these guys really good at something. And Corey ought to be good at the jump ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Corey ought to be good at one. Did you see Mike Williams yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
And they knew exactly what he was going to do. They knew exactly, okay, he's going to be the guy to get the contested ball. What's he going to do? He's going to jump up there and pull it down like a rebound. Say, fine, we'll take that. Well, that needs to be Davis's job. And Humph needs to be the stop. Okay, so what's Brown going to be? Brown's maybe going to be the – Brown will be our Landry. He's going to be a pattern runner. He's going to be able to catch the ball. And once he catches the ball, he's going to run like a scalded dog with it. And you say, fine, okay, that's him. What about Sharp? Well, Sharp's the pattern guy. Sharp's the possession guy, if you will, whatever you want. But each guy has a little something so that when they line up – because right now – my impression is they go out there and they line up, and Marcus looks out there at Davis and sees a 5'8" corner on him. And I'm not sure anything clicks. You know, I'm not sure he says, Oh, man, look at that 5'8" corner. Okay, here comes a jump ball. Get ready, Corey. You know, or you get out there and you find, you know, another matchup that you really like on one of these receivers. Maybe it's a safety. You got safety on Humphreys. You say, okay, Humphreys, here it comes now. Get ready. And in your mind, you have to be thinking that. I don't sense we have any of that.
It reminds me of Tony Romo calling the AFC title game last year, where he would point on the screen and say, if the safety goes to Edelman, then he's got the linebacker on Gronkowski, and he's going to throw it over the middle to Gronk. If the safety goes with Gronkowski, then he's got man coverage, and he's going to throw it up to Edelman. And you'd watch the play, and you'd see, oh, there goes the safety to the middle of the field. Ball goes up for Edelman. And I'm with you. I don't think Marcus sees that the way that Tony Romo was pointing it out on TV, or the way that all these other good quarterbacks look at it and see, okay, you do that, I do this. And I think Marcus does not do that. That I would completely agree with you. And I don't know why he does not do that, because in year five, he should be able to do that.
Oh, yes. I mean, really, year two, you should be able to do that. I mean, you've been working with a receiver. You know what he's good at. And now it's a matter of, okay, I need to get him the ball in this situation and let him do what he's going to do with it. And sometimes you don't have those options. You know, sometimes you get out there and you look and you don't like the matchup, or the coverage takes the option away, or whatever it may be, which is all fine. You know, you got other places to go with the ball. But, you know, I always felt like if you could start when the ball snapped, if you could have a clue, you know, this is what I'm really thinking I'm going to do with this ball. And then if it changes, then you adapt. That's part of being a player.
More of your phone, 615-737-1025. But coming up next, the Vols at Florida. I don't even know if I watch a single snap in the fourth quarter of that game. They're terrible. I mean, they are terrible. We'll get to that next. Jared the GM on a Monday. We are live from Tullamore Dew and Brews out here in Germantown at Neighbors. Come on out and see us out here at Neighbors Bar in Germantown. Again, thanks to our friends at Tullamore Dew and Brews. And, of course, we got the Monday Night Football game tonight, the watch party for Chicago and Washington. Jared the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.